A ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, fell at Jesus' feet, and he begged him, saying, "My little daughter, she's about to die. Come and lay your hands on her that she would be saved." If Jesus makes sense to you, then you're not paying attention to the things that he says, to the things that he does. It's been more clear to me than ever before over the last three weekends. I've been reading these stories about Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, chapter 4, now chapter 5. It's more clear to me than ever before that I don't get Jesus. I don't get him. I don't get why he says the things that he says. The things that he says are completely contrary to what you would expect him to say. I don't get him. Like, for instance, there's a house. And there's a 12-year-old girl who is dead in that house. Her father had just come and asked Jesus to come and heal her. Jesus sees the house, and he enters, and he sees the 12-year-old girl who is dead, and he sees all the family of this little girl weeping and wailing and carrying on this great commotion, and he looks at them, and he says, "Why are you weeping? Why all the commotion?" It doesn't make any sense. Why would you say that? Or backtrack a little bit. Before he got to the house, he was on his way, and there was a crowd of thousands of people all thronging around him, pressing in on him at every side. And all of a sudden, he stops, and he says, "Who just touched me?" The disciples, even Mark tells us in the story, they say, "You see the crowd, right, Lord? Why would you say, 'Who just touched me?'" It doesn't make any sense. Or backtrack, before he got to the crowd, before he got even to the shore, he was in a boat on the sea, and there was a storm that arose in the middle of the night, and it's crashing into the boat, and the waves are piling in, and the disciples are there scared to death that they're about to drown, as was common back in their day, and Jesus is asleep on a cushion, and they're fighting for hours, and they finally wake him up, and he sees the storm, and he says, "Why are you guys afraid? You see the storm, right? Why would you say, 'Why are you afraid?' You see the crowds, right? Why would you say, 'Who touched me?' You see the little girl who's dead, right? Why would you say, 'Why are you weeping?'" See, this is why Jesus doesn't make any sense to me. To anyone who's paying any attention to him at all, he acts like he's not even aware of what's going on right in front of his face. You don't go up to grieving family members and ask them why they're weeping if you see the dead 12-year-old girl. You don't go up to a crowd and ask them who touched you if you see the mob. You don't ask people why they're scared of drowning if you see the storm and the water rising up to their knees in a boat. Yet, Jesus does. He asks these questions. He talks this way. So, the only explanation I could come up with why is because Jesus must see something that you and I don't. So then the question is, well, then what is Jesus seeing that causes him to say these things that don't make any sense to us, or to do these things that make no sense to us, that makes him seem like he's completely oblivious to the tragedy and the commotion and all the tears and craziness of our world? So what does he see? Well, I guess a good place to start first is, what do you see in the stories? Is there someone that you can relate with? Something that catches your eye? Disciple in a boat, storm crashing in, feel like life is getting pretty complex, heavy, that you're drowning in under all these complexities, and you look and Jesus is asleep on a cushion, and it seems like, well, where is he? Is he even aware of what's going on here? Is he even there? Does he even care? or perhaps the woman in the crowd, 12 years of illness. She went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and things are only getting worse, it seems. She spent all that she had, and things aren't getting any better. They're just getting worse. Is that who you see? Can you relate with that? Can you relate with the family gathered outside that house that are crying over the death of a loved one? And Jesus comes up and says, "Why are you weeping?" I mean, leaves you dumbfounded. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you see one of them. Maybe you don't see any of them at all because I just blew through it all in 5 minutes. But the point is that you do relate with someone in the story. The one that's hidden. The one who Jesus sees that no one else does. The one that we don't even see even after reading the story again and again and again and again. The father. This father named Jairus, who comes to Jesus and begs him to save his precious little daughter. She was only 12, and she was dying. And Jairus believed that Jesus was the only one who could save her. Even in the grips of death and the fears of what that hospital room brings when your little child gets sick, Jairus held on and clung and believed in these words that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and his mercies never come to an end. And they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Jesus sees the one who hopes in him when no one else seems to. In the crowd of thousands of people, someone comes back from the house and tells the father the worst possible news. Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble Jesus anymore. They go to the house, all the families, they are crying, and they laugh at Jesus. They scorn him. You're too late. She's dead. They had all lost hope, except the one who no longer is mentioned in the story, the one hidden in the background, the one whose Jesus' eyes are fixed on, the Father. He believes. He hopes. When he hears the words back at the crowd, your daughter is dead, Jesus looks at him and he says, don't fear, only believe. Believe. The reason why you came to me and threw yourself at my feet and begged me to come and touch your daughter and to save her. Don't fear. Only believe. This is what Jesus' eyes are focused on throughout these stories. It's simple, childlike faith in him. See, Jesus sees what no one else does. He sees simple faith, even in the crowd of thousands of people. He sees what no one else sees. He sees a daughter who's sleeping, who's going to be raised back from the dead when he simply says, Talitha kumi, little girl, I say to you, arise. He sees what no one else sees. He sees a storm that's going to stop at the simple word of peace. He sees what no one else sees. He sees a woman who has simple childlike faith in him in the crowd of thousands of people who are all thronging around him for his attention. He stops for their sake and points her out and says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. He looks for faith in him. And he sees it no matter what else is going around him. He sees what no one else sees. He sees a father who throws himself at Jesus' feet and begs that he would come and heal his precious little daughter. Do not fear, Jairus. Believe. It's the faith of this father which brings Jesus to save his precious little daughter. I know this is strange for us to hear because we're so individualized. But in this story, it's the father's faith that saves his precious little daughter. Fathers have no greater task or responsibility than this, to beg Jesus to come to their children and to save them. And that role never stops. Doesn't stop when they're born. Doesn't stop when they're 12. doesn't stop when they grow up and they head off to college. It doesn't stop when they're in their 20s and 30s and married and with children. It doesn't stop when they're over the hill. It doesn't stop when they're 60 or 80 or 99 every day. No matter what your precious little daughter or son goes through, you hit the floor and you beg Jesus at his feet to come and to please heal my daughter so that she would be made well and live in you. When she first goes off to school, she starts to get picked on for the first time. Maybe she doesn't have the right crayons or something. You hit the floor and you ask Jesus to come and to heal your little daughter. She grows up. She starts to struggle with her body. Spends too long looking into the mirror, feeling like she's not enough. You fathers hit the floor and you beg Jesus to come and to heal your daughter. And then you tell her how beautiful she is every day. When she gets sick, she heads to the hospital room. You beg Jesus to come and to heal your precious little daughter. When she grows up, she heads off to college or work, and she's looking for a husband who will cherish her and nourish her. You beg the Lord to come and to heal your daughter. When she starts to wane with her church attendance, when she doesn't get her children baptized, you hit the floor and you beg Jesus to come and to heal your daughter. Because he's the only one who can, you see. And when it appears that her faith is dead, that she's left the faith, and she's lying there dead in her sin on her bed without grace, you beg Jesus to come and to heal your daughter and to make her well in him. Because faith, it never stops begging Jesus to make things right again. And it's this faith which the Lord sees in the midst of all the commotion, in the midst of all the craziness and all the tears and all the weeping. He's not distracted by the waves, you see. He only looks for faith. Why are you so afraid? Have you lost faith? He says to his disciples in the boat. He's not distracted by death. He only looks for faith. Jairus, don't fear, only believe. Look, I'm sure your boat's getting flooded. All of our lives are that way. Things plague your body. Whatever is causing you to grieve, look, behold, Jesus comes in the midst of our crowds. This crowd of commotion that we're all part of all of our social media posts, the endless news coverages, throng of distractions and terrifying waves that capture our attention and our interests, and it leaves us numb and confused, and we start to talk like we're overcome with emotion, and we start to act like we're overcome with emotion, and we look around and we see everyone else overcome with emotion and confusion except one. One in the midst of the crowd whose hands are pierced, whose body is raised from the dead, who acts like none of these things fazes him. Dead 12-year-old girl, why are you weeping? She's asleep. A storm that's about to drown me, why are you afraid? Peace, be still. It's like nothing fazes him because his eyes are set on something completely different. He sees simple childlike faith in him in the midst of all the crowds. That's what he sees that you and I don't. Faith that begs at his feet for healing. Faith that begs for him to come in the midst of all of our commotion and heal us. Faith that begs him to come heal our children. Faith which sees, even when the entire world feels like it's crumbling around you, that Jesus will come and he brings peace in the midst of this terrible storm. And Jesus will come. And he will bring healing in the midst of this terrible disease, that Jesus ultimately will come and bring life, even in the face of death. So therefore, that is why every day, we fathers and we mothers, we beg Jesus to come, to lay his hands on our children, so that they would be saved. Amen.